All right, we want to continue with 2 John, and we're somewhere around the 8th verse, but during the break, the question has come up concerning purpose. You know, we were talking about purpose. And so often people think about, for me to fulfill the purpose of God, I need to be a preacher, or I need to be in this ministry or that ministry. And that's not true. Here, you think about what it takes for the world to run. All the vocations, and if you look at any given city, you have a police department, a fire department, EMS, and sanitation department, engineering department, waterworks, all the things that it takes to make the city run. Do you think God's oblivious to that? Of course He isn't. He knows what it takes to make it run. So the thing about it is, I had a man to come to me one time, and he said, he came to my office one afternoon, he said, "Do you believe God can call somebody to law enforcement?" I said, "Absolutely." I said, "I believe if God can call me from secular work into the ministry, God can call a person into law enforcement, because the civil authorities are ordained by God." Romans the 13th chapter, okay? So I want you to understand this. To fulfill the purpose of God means you do not violate the promptings that God has placed on the inside of you. You don't violate the vision that God's put in you. Thank God we have mechanics, electricians, and carpenters, and painters, and the whole... You go on and on and on. Are you where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do? That's how you fulfill the purpose of God. Now, I don't care what your vocation is or where you work, you're representative of God. This is the key. Now, if I fail to represent God, I'm not going to fulfill my purpose. I may be a good mechanic that just really smears and slanders the name of God. Okay? God wanted me to do this, but He wanted me to do it in His name. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. So when we go about our routine of life, when we go about whatever vocation we're called into, then we're to do everything we do in the name of Jesus. Honestly, it's probably less than majority that go into what people call full-time ministry. You understand? And I think people have missed it in this area. I can tell you this. I would still be working today in that position had the Spirit of God not told me to leave. Now, once I get that instruction, I'm in violation if I stay. I can be working at a particular job, at a particular business, and the Spirit of God deal with me about somewhere else. Or I get an offer and I get a witness on the inside, I need to take that. I would call myself a stable person. Not one that goes from one job to another job. And when I got out of service, I went to work for this place, and I worked there, and I wasn't thinking about going anywhere else, and I had somebody to start, you know, talking to me, and want me to go, and it was an area that I had great interest in at that particular time. And so I ended up going there for a season. Okay? And then after that, the place that I had worked for originally called me up. The owner called me up and asked me if I would come back to work for them. I felt good about it on the inside. So I went over there, and I stayed. They actually sold the business, and I stayed there and worked with the other people that bought the business and all that. And then the things, it's interesting because it wasn't that I was real sensitive to the Spirit, okay, but it's just I feel good about it, or I don't feel good about it. And I turned down things I didn't feel good about on the inside, okay? And I look back in retrospect and see how God was leading me from one place to another place. I ended up, you know, leaving that service manager job and going to school full time and taking a second shift job while I went through school and all that. And then, I'm thinking one direction that I'm going to pursue. I have a thought in my mind for even going back to school that I'm going to pursue something. But I got a job offer, and inside it felt right. It felt good. Okay? I don't know how to tell you. It just ain't right. So I did that. It was actually teaching school. I did that for. I actually did it for 2 years and started back the third year. And I got another job offer. And I was really, with that, I was really more in tune with the Lord on this. It wasn't all about money, but I'm sure that helped me influence when they tell you they'll pay you twice what you're making to come to work for. Anyway, I went there, and I thought I would be there for the duration. I never got disenchanted, you know, with any of this. But I look back, and I see how God was training me and letting the world pay for it. Interesting. So he's taken from this place to this place to this place to this place. The thing about it is do what you do well. Do it with excellence. You're a representative of God, and don't leave a bad name. Don't ever leave a place where that they wouldn't hire you again. That's not the way to leave it. You understand? You don't leave mad. You with me? And if you follow this and you follow the character of the Lord, then you're going to leave a good trail behind you and not bring a reproach against the Lord in the process. Okay? So wherever the passion that God's put in you, follow that passion for God. But do it with excellence. You know, we need people looking after children. We need people that watch over senior people. We need people in all aspects of life. Thank God there's people that run grocery stores and gas stations. Well, they don't have gas stations anymore, but somebody made the pump that you can stick your credit card in, okay? Or debit, whatever, all right? But think about it. It takes all this for God's plan for humanity to come around. So don't ever be intimidated by the position you're in, by your vocation. Don't ever be ashamed to tell somebody where you work and what you do. Don't hang your head down and say, I do this. Whatever you do, you do it. Be the best at what you do. Then you're good representation of God, and God's purpose is being fulfilled. Order of a city is God's purpose. It's accomplished through law enforcement. Safety of a city. God wants the city safe. It's accomplished through these public servants, you understand, that do this. So don't ever get intimidated. Well, I don't do this, so I must be inferior, and I'm not as important to God as this person. That's a bunch of garbage. And clergy did it. Okay? God didn't put the name clergy on them. They assumed that name to themselves. So fulfill the purpose of God wherever you are. Bloom where you're planted. That's how God's will gets accomplished in earth, is everybody working together, doing what they're supposed to do. Don't worry about the other guy. Don't watch and see what he's doing. It's none of your business. It's like God, Jesus told Peter when he asked about, well, what about John? My paraphrase, John's none of your business. Do what I told you to do. And that's the way we're to conduct our lives. Okay? So I hope that helps you and liberates you. Okay? Full-time ministry is representing God, whatever you're doing. That's what full-time ministry is. You're serving God. Whatever you do, you're serving God. Okay? I served God as a mechanic. I don't serve God any better now than I did then. I hope I have more understanding now. But your heart's to the Lord or it's not. And my heart was to the Lord. I wanted to give the Lord a good name. Not a bad name. Okay? Alright. We're okay with all that? Alright, Michaela, if you would, I think we're somewhere around verse 8. Is that right? Okay. In 2 John, he says, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we receive a full reward. Do what you do, do well. Amen? Do it, whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. Do it with excellence. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Recognize who you're representing. Amen? Then he says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not abide, dwell, stay. That means you can leave it. Right? Whoever does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Now, how can I make that any plainer? It's as plain as it can get. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If I abide in the doctrine of Christ, I must recognize Jesus as the Son of God. If I recognize Jesus as the Son of God, then I must recognize Jesus had a Father. You can't have a Son without a Father. You figure that one out. Okay? So, he says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, note this, do not receive him into your house. Don't coexist. Don't embrace false doctrine. Okay? He says, don't bring him into your house, note this, nor greet him. Stay away from him. Stay away from error. Stay away from Antichrist. That's the advice he's actually giving here. Note this. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Don't associate with the world. Now that doesn't mean that we don't interact with the world. I mean, you couldn't go to Walmart, you couldn't go to Food Lion, you couldn't go to these places if everybody had to be a born-again believer. We interact, but I can tell you right now, I don't hang out with the heathen. Okay? And if you do, you better evaluate this. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink. But I hope to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. You know, in many cases, it's better. I like to talk to people face to face because we can interact. I can make a statement you may not understand, and we can sit there and talk this thing back and forth and have a good understanding. It's just more intimate, the face-to-face relationship, than writing a letter. Would you agree? Or even a phone call. Even that's a little more remote than just being able to look the person in the eye. We were talking about that, weren't we? I like to look a person in the eye. If you can't look me in the eye, what is it you don't want me to see? Think about it. Okay? There's a more intimate relationship there, more better interaction. Okay? So he says, I want to talk to you face to face that our joy may be full. That our joy may be full. Not I want to look at you so I can beat you around. No, he's complimenting them. You understand? He's looking forward to fellowshipping with them. He said, the children of your elect sister greet you. Now, I don't know who that is. Do you? So I'm not going to bluff it. Don't you? You can do it all kinds of speculations in there, but who's the elect sister? So he says, amen. A very concise letter. But what is the whole gist of the letter? Truth abides in the believer, and that truth abides, that abides in the believer, lives with him forever. You have truth. If you have truth, you don't need any error, anything else. And John defines love as living according to God's command. That's what love is. I can say I love you all I want to, but am I doing what you tell me? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's not what I'm saying. Demonstrate your love. I can tell you I love you, but what happens if you get in need? You call me up. I have a problem. Now let's see if I love you. Especially if it's at midnight. You with me? Okay. There are many imposters that have infiltrated the world. They're all over the place. And they're not going to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. You don't sit there and argue with them. I mean, not that you follow my pattern, you follow the Word of God. But if somebody says, I don't believe in God, I usually say you will. You know, it's just a matter of time. You don't do it in this life. You will. You understand? But there's no use in me engaging in an argument and trying to prove that person wrong. I heard a minister say one time, he had a guy, he was talking about, you know, preaching scripture and, about God, you know, and the guy said, guys, in the short sort of time, I don't believe in God. They didn't pay him attention. Guys, I don't, after the service, he come to him, he said, I don't believe in God. The second time, I don't believe in God. And he said that. He said, well, you just told me something about yourself. He said, what's that? He said, you just told me you was a fool. Because the fool has said in his heart, there is no, you know, the guy ended up getting saved. Don't back down from the Word of God. You know? If you want to be ignorant, that's your prerogative. You can be ignorant if you want to. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. You want instruction? I'll give you instruction. You don't want to follow the instruction? You want to remain ignorant? Go ahead. But there is a consequence to that. If anyone comes to you and does not bring the doctrine of Christ, do not associate with that person. I'm telling you, we engage in too many other things, and it's amazing to me that how sane people, supposedly sane, can start trying to mix this religion and this religion and bring these, what they call gods, together, and God doesn't coexist with any other god. He said, if there's another god, I don't know it. He's God and God alone. And so we need to recognize that. And people that are trying to associate with us, well, you know, I worship with this God. Then do you want to come around me and we'll talk about my God? I'm not interested in yours. Now, when you get ready, you know, I had this conversation with the man. And I just gave him the gospel of Jesus. And he laughed at me. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. You can do what you want to with it. But you've heard the gospel of Jesus. Now you're accountable. And the day will come when you wish you'd have listened to this old boy. I hope my attitude was right. But at least he got the gospel anyway, okay? This short letter conveys a powerful truth about love. It's active, not passive. Love demonstrates. Can you imagine a person just telling you all the time, I love you, I love you, I love you, but you never see anything that would demonstrate that they love you? They never do anything for you? And if you have a need, they're not available. You see, too many people today in the Christian world, in the religious arena, are telling people they love them, they love them. God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. But they don't see God loves them because God loves through us. And if you're going to see the love of God, you're going to have to see me demonstrate the love of God. God, here again, that goes back to purpose. God has ordained us. It's His purpose in our heart that we show people God loves them. We do things for people because we want to demonstrate the love of God. We don't do it for what we can get out of it, whether it's money or whether it's satisfaction. We do it because we want them to know the love of God. God loves you. God loves you. Well, why are you doing this? Because I just feel like that's what God wants me to do. God wants me to demonstrate His love to you. That's what we should be doing in our daily lives. The world is saturated with imposters. Do you believe that? So it's imperative that believers be attentive to the Spirit. That's why, you know, I feel like God led us to just pull aside and teach on how to be led by the Spirit of God. Because if we're not led by the Spirit of God, we'd be duped by the imposters. They have a good sales pitch, you understand. And if you don't know the truth, you fall for deception. And the Spirit of God will, the Spirit of truth will keep you from deception if you listen to Him. You can't deceive the Spirit of truth. Okay? As believers, we must refuse to associate with those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, that He came to earth in a physical body. When I say associate, understand I'm talking about developing friendships and all that. Obviously, there's certain interaction, you know, that we'd have to get out of the world if there wasn't, okay, because of all these other people in the world. But your best friend should not be a heathen. Your best friend should not be somebody of another religion that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. Let me rephrase that. A lot of them believe in Jesus Christ. They just don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who was born of a virgin and lived and walked on this earth as a representative of God. That's who you need to be associating with. You want to build yourself up spiritually? Hang out with spiritual people. You want to get pulled down, then hang out with people that don't believe like you and listen to their conversation. I don't recommend that. I can't imagine anybody wanting to be pulled down. We're to love fellow believers. You'd think that would be a given. We're to love fellow believers. But we're to never compromise the integrity of Jesus. You understand? If we could just get in our thinking, I represent Jesus. And you have to tell yourself this. There are many, many occasions I get into situations and before I do anything, I say, you represent the Lord. I say that to myself. You represent the Lord. Not yourself. That has a way of bridling your tongue, pulling back on getting a little self-control working here and all that. And just remind yourself, it doesn't matter what you do. You represent the Lord. So you're honest with people. You're honest before the Lord. And people are watching you. Oh, they love to slander a Christian. Boy, they look for it. You understand? I had a guy to say, which if I would have known it when it was going on, it would have really unnerved me, I'm sure. But he was an employee, and he I heard him tell people. He said, I used to watch him every day. And when he said that, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how many times did I blow it? If he was watching me every day, and I thought about one particular incident where I had to exercise my authority, and I did, unquestionably, but evidently it went across, or it came across okay, because I didn't get slandered on it anyway. But I think about ever since he said that, I've thought about this. We don't even know people, and they're watching us. I was at a restaurant a couple of weeks ago, and there was a gentleman there that was struggling a little bit, moving slow. And he was having a little bit of a coordination problem there, getting food. And I just stood back, and my heart goes out. I'm not getting impatient. And then he said something to me to the effect of, this slow, I'm sorry. I said, man, that's no problem. It's not like I've got something else to do or something, And then he turned around. He said, you're Pete Bumgarner. I don't know that I've ever seen the man. I'm thinking, boy, I'm glad I handled that one right. See, you don't know. I mean, you never know the people that know you. But I can tell you this. If I would have smarted off at him, I'll guarantee you other people would have known Pete Bumgarner in a negative way. Are you with me? The bottom line is, God would have been slandered. Because wherever I go, I represent. That's who I am. It's who you are. When I first left secular work and went into what's called full-time ministry, it was very demanded, and I'm very dedicated. Whether it's in the secular work, if I need to stay there for 2 or 3 hours, and then I'll stay there 2 or 3 hours later. I mean, I need to get the job done, and no more money for staying there. You understand? Well, the ministry's the same way. If if it's going back at night, if it's doing this, if it's doing that, then that's the way it is. And that was adjustment. You know, my sure didn't marry a preacher. She married a heathen. And the thing of it is there's a real adjustment with your family. You know, your kids, you know, daddy was this or daddy was that. Now daddy's this, you know. And I finally, I told her one day something came up. And I said, ministry is not what I do, it's who I am. And that's 24/7. That's my life. And you're going to have to adjust to that. That's my life. Okay? Not super spiritual. It's being responsible for what God's called you to do. And whether it's overseeing a church or whether it's working a particular job, doing this or that, you be responsible in what you do. I'm a firm promoter of being responsible and taking the responsibility. Don't pass the buck. I learned early on is if one of the guys that worked for me messed up, and my boss says, what happened? I say, I messed up. But we'll get the problem resolved. Now, here's what I found out that does. It disarms them. They're thinking you're going to justify. Or you're going to blame it on somebody else. Jesus doesn't blame our sin on us. He takes it on himself. And we need to learn to follow that pattern. Be responsible. Be responsible for God because we're all accountable to God. And so we need to do our best to walk in truth. Have you ever heard the joy of the Lord is your strength? You know what brings joy to the Lord? Walking in truth. It's not your joy that gives you strength. It's the joy of the Lord. That's fruit of the Spirit. Do you notice that? Walk in truth. Amen? Well, that's an overview of 2 John.